بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we want to talk a little bit about our goal as Muslims. Sometimes we have to sit around and think, you know. As a matter of fact, I want you to sit and think for a second. What is it that you want out of being Muslim? What is it that you want, or what is your goal or your aim out of you being Muslim? Your goal should be that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love you and to be pleased with you. Your goal should be that you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you, not only to forgive you, but to overlook your sins. So that on that day in which you were brought in front of him to be judged for your deeds, that inshallah ta'ala, that you won't be from amongst those people that have to pay the price or enter into the hellfire even for a minute, so that you can be purified from your sins. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to overlook all of that stuff. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and make it as though you never did those things. This should be our goal as being Muslims. This is what we should be aiming for. And the thing about it is that a lot of us don't realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told us over and over and over again, how can we accomplish this? How is this accomplished? We know that this is accomplished by holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah. Because the reality is that in Islam, we have not been commanded with anything except that it is going to have a good effect on our this life or our life of this world as well as our hereafter. And we have not been forbidden from anything except that it will harm us either in this life or in the hereafter or both. There's nothing harmful except that we have been prohibited from partaking in it. And there is nothing good or beneficial except that we have been commanded with it. So with all of this being said, that these commands are for our good, that these prohibitions are for our good, and our goal is that we want Allah to love us and be pleased with us, forgive us for our sins so that we can enter into the Jannah by His permission. Now it's for us to look into Islam and figure out how is it that we accomplish this? How is it that we achieve fulfilling this goal? Or how is it that we achieve this particular goal? Now let's take a look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us with. And we know His commands come both in His book and on the tongue of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing we want to look at is that ayah that we all hear all of the time. Many of us hear it every Jumu'ah. And that's that ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in this ayah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ. Say that if you love Allah, if you love Allah, not this stuff that you hear the people saying, oh, I only love Allah. Or I'm sorry, they say, I only fear Allah. When people say, I love Allah, and then they turn around and do everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is displeased with. And they stay away from all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. What kind of love is this? We don't do this with our husbands and our wives and our children and our parents and our friends. Those things that the people that we love, the things that they're pleased with, we try to do as much of it as we can because we want them to be happy with us. Because we want them in return to love us back. And we stay away from doing those things that we know upset them, even if it's something that we may not like, because we want them to love us and to enjoy being around us. Why should it be any different when we talk about our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why should it be any different when we talk about achieving this goal that we just talked about a minute ago? If we want Allah to love us, if we want Allah to forgive us for our sins, if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pardon us of all of our shortcomings on that day in which we will be judged or we will be brought to account for those things that we used to do. If we want this, then we need to do those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded and stay away from those things that He has forbidden. So going back to this particular ayah, it says, Kul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, say, he's talking to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, say, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah. He told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam to tell the people, if you truly love Allah, if really you love Allah, fattabi'uni, then follow me. Do those things that I do, stay away from those things that I stay away from, follow out or follow up with those things I've commanded you to do, and stay away from those things that I have commanded you to stay away from. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. And he tells us, what's the reward for that? What's going to happen if we do that? What's going to happen if we love Allah and we follow the guidance that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam came with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to tell the people, يُحْبِبُكُمْ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will love you and He will forgive you for your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is often forgiving and merciful. Subhanallah, look at this and the effects that this could have on our lives. This little piece of advice, this little ayah. Look at all of the good that can come out of us just practicing this one little ayah. If we just love Allah, and because of this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we follow the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. Then if we do this, this will be a cause for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us and to forgive us for our sins. Who doesn't need that? Who can sit here and honestly say, listen, I'm all right? None of us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wraps the ayah up. He says, Wallahu ghafurun rahim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is often forgiving and merciful. Now, think about this. When you're out and you're doing what it is that you do, what you need to be concentrating on as you're walking down the street or driving down the street, or whether you're on one of the microbuses or things along these sorts, you need to think, is what I'm doing right now, according to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, am I carrying out those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger have commanded us with? And am I staying away from doing those things that Allah and His Messenger have commanded us to stay away from? Am I lowering my gaze? Am I remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I making dhikr? Am I using my adhkar? Am I making dua? Have I read some Quran today? Do I have my mushaf with me? Can I read some Quran? Instead of listening to music and things along these things through our headphones, we could be listening to Quran or listening to a lecture, learning a little bit about Allah and His Messenger and this religion. And the reason why we would be doing this is because we want to be following the way of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? We want to do this because we love Allah and we want Allah to love us. We want on that day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven us for our sins. So this is not something that just happens because we make the shahadatain or because we have pronounced our faith. This doesn't just happen because now we say we're Muslim, but it happens because of the fact that we've worked for it. We can gain Allah's love. And the Prophet ﷺ explains how to do it over and over and over again. Allah told the Prophet ﷺ here in this ayah to explain to us, if we truly love Allah, then follow me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ to tell us, if this is what we love, if we love Allah, then follow him. And the result, as we said probably three or four times already, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and he will forgive you for your sins. And for those of you who didn't know, this particular ayah is in Surah Ali Imran, and it's ayah number 31. For anyone that wanted to look it up or go and look into the tafsir of it, which will be a good idea. And again, we said, by following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we understand that this is by doing those things that he's commanded, and by staying away from those things that he's forbidden. And this isn't just something that, you know, a lot of us have in our hearts. Okay, this, we're Muslim. It's obvious. I have to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and stay away from what he forbid. But we need to understand that this is a command. This is a command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to follow the way of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Not when it just comes to your salah or when it comes to your fasting, the way you do business, the way you run your household, the way that you judge in different affairs. All of these things, the whole of your lifestyle, waking up and going to sleep, the way that you work, what types of jobs that you work in. This is all considered to be following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or leaving off the Prophet's guidance, depending on whether or not you follow him in his way or leave it off. And we see in another area of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This first ayah we talked about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to command us with this. This other ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says directly, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Listen to this ayah. It's in Surah Al-Hashr, ayah number 7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes with, then take it. Whatever he comes with, whatever he comes to you with, or whatever he gives you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And whatever he forbids you from, then stay away from it. Discontinue doing this action, or discontinue making this statement, or holding this belief. Whatever it is that he forbade you from, leave it off. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, he says, Wattaqullah, inna Allah shadidul iqab. And fear Allah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in his punishment. Now there's a couple of points I want to talk about here. And as you know, we're not going to hold you too long. But the first of these things is this particular ayah was talked about after another part of the ayah. And they were talking about the spoils of war. So when you look into the books of Tafsir, you're going to find that the scholars differ upon exactly what was talked about. Some people talked about, some of the scholars say that it was actually talking about specifically the war booty. What is it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever he came with, whatever he gave you, then take it. Whatever he forbade you from, then leave it off. Again, they were talking about the spoils of war. But you're going to find that the majority of the scholars, they're under the opinion that this is in all areas. Because there's a general principle when they talk about understanding the adillah. And we're talking about here this particular ayah, or this particular verse. There's a qa'idah or a principle that is used in understanding these different ayat, and actually in the ahadith as well. And this principle is a principle that you've all heard me talk about before. And that principle is al-ibra bil-umum al-lafz la bi-khusus al-sabab. And the ibra, for those of you who understand this part of the Arabic language, is talking about that which is taken, that which is benefited. The benefit is bi-umum al-lafz, is by the generality of the statement itself. La bikhusus as-sabab, and it's not, the benefit is not in the exact reason only that it was revealed for, or the reason that it was set down. I hope that's clear, that the benefit is in the generality of the statement itself, not in the exact reason in which that particular proof was brought about. Now, as we said, this particular ayah, the whole of the ayah, was talking about war booty. So we understand from it, from the khusus al-sabab, that the reason, the thing specifically that was being talked about, was the war booty. Whatever it is that was that the Prophet ﷺ came with. And here, this is why you find some of the mufassirin or the people of tafsir, they say that this word ataqum here, it means a'taqum, to give you. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ has given you, then take it. And whatever he forbids you from or restrains you from, then leave it alone. But as we said, as you find the majority of the scholars, they say that because of this particular qaida, this principle, that, or actually one of the reasons is because of this particular principle, that the benefit is in the generality of the statement, that they're talking about everything that the Prophet ﷺ come with, whether it be from the spoils of war, whether it be from our ibadat or our worship, or whether it be from our aqidah, or whether it be regardless of what it is that the Prophet ﷺ comes with, then we should take it, we should hold fast to it. And whatever it is that the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from, whether again it comes to our ibadah or our worship, or it comes to our belief system, or regardless of whatever it may be, the way that we treat our parents, the way that we treat our spouses or our children, any of this, whatever he has forbidden us from, alayhi salatu wasalam, that we should leave it off. Because of this, you're going to find, as we said, that the majority of the scholars you're going to find are under the opinion that it's talking about everything, not just the situation of the spoils of war, but it encompasses everything that the Prophet ﷺ came with. And another reason why they say this is because of what comes right after it, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear Allah, verily Allah is severe in his punishment. So they say that this issue here with taqwa, where he says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, and fear Allah, he says this shows that this part that comes right before it encompasses everything that is considered to be taqwa. Whether it's your ibadat, whether it's your worship, whether it's the mu'amalat or the interactions that you have with individuals, whether it's talking about marriage or divorce, or whether it's talking about raising your children, or whether it's talking about doing business with one another, regardless of what it is, that we are supposed to fear Allah and know that Allah is severe in his punishment. And this is another reason why they say that this first part, or actually the middle part of this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to you with, then take it, whatever he forbids you from, then leave it off. This is why they say that this particular part of the ayah is general for everything. So it includes the spoils of war and other than it. So the point behind what I'm trying to get at right here is that our goal is to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us. Our goal is to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us or forgive us for our sins. Our goal is to have all of this happen so that he is so pleased with us on that day in which we will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will enter us into the Jannah and reward us there and not make us to be of those who have to enter into the hellfire, even if it's for a lahza or a minute or a second. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid that from happening to all of us. Allahumma ameen. So, if this really is our goal, like we said in the beginning, we need to look back and find out how it is that we achieve this goal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear over and over and over again in both His book and on the tongue of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that the way in which we achieve this is by following the way of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in our hearts to have a love for both Him and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in our hearts that make us love the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much so that we don't want to do anything but follow it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, because this is something that a lot of us forget a lot. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our tawbah or our repentance. Ameen, ameen, Allahumma ameen. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. وأستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.